Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, Packers-Bears on Sunday afternoon at Soldier Field is almost here. And as we usually do for our final show of the week, we will start by just talking about the keys to victory for Green Bay. And I think with this one, you have to start with handling the elements, managing the cold, and managing it better than another cold weather team.
Yeah, it really, that's what it comes down to when you get to December. And I mean, from a certain aspect, that's what the Chicago Bears are going to be looking to do as well. I mean, this is their home field. They're used to this climate. They do, you know, it's been a lot of turnover in recent years, but yet they do have a lot of guys that, you know, have been used to this in terms of being able to come out and perform in it. This is going to break people, though. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is that weather like this, this isn't just cold weather. This is, you know, this is really getting down there, something that's going to, you know, kind of test your will a little bit. And when Mike McCarthy talks about, you know, the character of your football team, this is where it comes out. And it's about playing for one another and understanding what the end game is and what your goal is. So it's not going to be an easy game. I'm sure by the time it's all over, win, lose, or tie, guys are going to be exhausted. But I think the Packers feel good about their week of preparation and what they put into it to be in a position now to go down to Chicago and compete.
Yeah, and it's interesting because from a fan's perspective, you're always wondering, like, well, how are the players feeling out there? And are they going to wear sleeves or not wear sleeves and all these kinds of things? But Mike McCarthy's really broken it down or keeps his focus primarily on one issue in terms of preparing his team for the cold, and that's handling the football.
Right.
And that encompasses a lot of things. The center-quarterback exchange. We saw the Packers fumble a snap early on against Houston in the first real cold weather game of the year. It's about catching the football. It's about the exchange between the quarterback and the running back on a handoff. It's all of those things that go into handling the football. You have to be the better team in that respect, not only just to function, but then obviously not to have as many turnovers as well.
Right, and I think that's one of the reasons when the Packers, when they were inside the, you know, the Don Hutson Center this past week in practice, they opened up all the doors, they let the air in, they wanted to get those, you know, the football's feeling like it's going to be a 10, you know, 5-degree game. Listen to Devontae Adams a little bit talk about it and Mason Crosby. You know, Ben Sermons, the Packers running back coach, also touched on it in that when it's colder, the ball gets harder, which means it's slipperier, which means it's more difficult to handle. So you have to be prepared for that, both mentally and physically, of what you need to do. Devontae Adams was discussing about the different way that you have to catch a football in this type of weather to make sure that you do secure it before you start turning upfield to make a play. And Mason Crosby, I think it's been equated to kind of kicking a tire when he's kicking a football in that weather. So all things that you have to take into account, and in all three phases, they're going to have to make adjustments to make sure that you not only protect the football, but in the defense's case, too, try to find ways to get it to your offense as well.
Yeah, I think Crosby's line about go out in the parking lot and kick the tire on your car, that's about what it feels like to try to kick a field goal in these kind of conditions. But that being said, you wonder from a strategic standpoint how much that will play into things when the Packers or the Bears have crossed midfield to get to maybe the 30-yard line. Where it's a 45-plus yard field goal, can you make a kick in those conditions? Or on fourth down, are you just going to go for it and try to keep the possession alive? A lot of things strategically can change when the conditions get this extreme.
Well, Packers special teams coordinator Ron Zook was talking about, in these kind of conditions, you don't really expect Mason to kick a 58-yard field goal. But then he stopped himself and said, well, maybe you do. I mean, kind of leaving it open. But I think the general statement that he's making there is, there's adjustments to be made, and there's going to be decisions that Mike McCarthy will have to decide on throughout the course of a game of what's the best idea for the football team moving forward with the ball placement, being able to control the field position, time of possession. All those things factor into it. It's going to be a cold football game. I think we're going to see a lot of running the football on both sides. Jordan Howard is meant for this weather. I'm sure the Bears want to get him the ball upwards of 20 times. And from the Packers' perspective, you have Ty Montgomery back there, who's now a full-fledged running back, and Mike McCarthy says can handle up to 20 carries if that's what the game plan calls for.
Yeah, for sure. And as we talked all week long, you know, Aaron Rodgers has to manage his injuries in this cold. He hasn't practiced this week. He's slated to maybe do a few things in practice on Saturday before the team gets on the plane to fly to Chicago. And I don't want to take anything away from the Bears here, but when I look at a game like this, Chicago is 3-10. You're playing in these super, super cold conditions. If you're the Packers, boy, don't you want to jump on top of these guys early? Because a team like Chicago that is out of it rivalry with the Packers and all that, yes, I understand that plays into it. But, boy, if you get a couple scores up on a team in these kind of conditions and that team isn't really playing for anything as far as the postseason, that really can put you in a good position because you may not necessarily get their best shot for all four quarters.
Right. I mean, that's where the test of will kind of comes in. You know, what is the gut check of a football team and being able to rally back from those elements and that adversity? When you're in a game, when you're competing for the playoffs, certainly that's something that ultimately is going to drive you. But what is the end game for you when you are 3-10, when your season is going to end in 3 weeks and you already know that? That's what the Bears are going to have to fight. They have a lot of young guys. They have a lot of guys trying to prove themselves and show that they can be starters for the future, so I'm sure they'll be motivated. But again, if the Packers can find a way to get out, get an early lead, which hasn't been easy to do over the Bears over the last month, but if they can find a way to do that, I think you're going to see those dominoes fall after that and maybe allow them to propel themselves through those next three quarters.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for too. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, looking at the Packers defensively coming into this game, you mentioned Jordan Howard and what he brings. I expect him to be the focal point of Chicago's offense in this game on Sunday. They're getting Alshon Jeffrey back at wide receiver from suspension, who could really help the passing game and help a young quarterback in Matt Barkley. But when I look at the Packers, I look at what they've done on defense over the last few weeks, and it's really been some important and valuable contributions from some role players, guys who, you know, part-time players, not necessarily out there every snap.
Right.
But they've gotten some big contributions there. Now, you need guys like Julius Peppers and Mike Daniels and your veteran leaders to play big, and Daniels had a tremendous game, I thought, against the Seattle Seahawks. But you look over the last couple of weeks, Dean Lowry, Jayron Elliott, and Dayton Jones all have seen their snaps increase with Nick Perry being out, with Clay Matthews being limited. And these guys have come through. They've made some important plays on that side of the ball.
Well, first off, Dayton Jones, I think, is the biggest guy in this equation because you're going to need him going forward if Nick Perry is either going to be sidelined or really restricted with having to wear a club, you know, the rest of the season. Hand injuries like that don't heal overnight. It's going to take time.
Right.
Dayton is probably going to be the guy seeing the most playing time going forward there, whether it is against the pass rush, whether it is trying to defend the run. They need him to play at a high level. I thought he really stepped up in that game against the Seahawks. You saw him finally get that first sack of the season. Jayron Elliott, you know, also kind of helping out in that equation. Those guys are going to be huge for them because you don't know what you're going to get from Clay Matthews the rest of the year. You don't know what the situation is going to be with Perry. You know what you have in Julius Peppers, but he can't play every single down. They're going to need to really look to those guys. Dean Lowry's just been a flat-out pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Because you do have Mike Daniels. You do have Latroy Guyon. Those are your kind of 1-2 punch defending the run and getting the inside push. And Lowry stepped in there as a fourth-round pick that, you know, had played, I think up until this past 2 weeks, had played, I think it was 18 snaps over the last 8 games, something like that.
Yeah, he hadn't had more than, I think it was 11 snaps in a single game all year long, and he's played over 50 snaps combined now the last 2 weeks.
And keep in mind, defensive line, you're only, at most case, you're getting two of those guys on the field at the same time. So for him to step up, particularly with the injuries to outside linebacker, where he's playing more inside in that dime package, he's put together, I thought, a really nice couple weeks for himself and really deserve that playing time that he's received.
Yeah, for sure. With Lowry, it's interesting because I remember in 2012, Mike Daniels' rookie year, it was kind of late in the season where Daniels started to come on. He was a fourth-round pick, you know, wasn't given the redshirt year, so to speak, but they were trying to bring him along. And then as you get towards the end of the year, you start to see more production. You start to see more impact. A guy who's been around longer, Jayron Elliott, one of the leaders on special teams. I believe he's still leading the team in special teams tackles with 10 right now. But to see him, he gets involved in that big third and one stop early on against the Seahawks, and then late in the game blows past the left tackle for a sack of Russell Wilson, his first sack of the season as well. Those kinds of impact plays, boy, those are important because you're going to count on your veteran guys to do what they do, but those other contributions from other guys, not the household names, those can make a difference.
Yeah, and Jaron Elliott, it's really interesting. He came in 2014 as an undrafted free agent out of Toledo, but you could make an argument that he was as tailor-made for this defense as any outside linebacker they've either drafted or signed, you know, probably since Clay Matthews. And what I mean by that is he already had experience playing as kind of a hybrid 3-4, 4-3 guy at Toledo.
Yeah.
They had used him in that fire zone kind of scheme, you know, doing some of that dropping. So it really, he was able to jump right on the scene in 2014 and make an impact. He had 5 sacks that preseason. He's just the guy that I think you got to get him opportunity, and he hasn't really had a chance up until now to get consistent reps down after down, and you're starting to see those plays come back a little bit, and that's going to be key for them going forward, depending on what Kyler Fackrell's health situation is. If he's going to be able to get back on the field soon from that hamstring, Jaron Elliott's going to factor in heavily into that rotation.
Yeah, for sure. And I like what you said earlier also about Dayton Jones, because we hadn't really talked too much about it in terms of his impact in the Seattle game, but he was really given the job against the read option looks, yeah, with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, of holding that edge and being keyed on the quarterback and not letting Wilson pull the ball back and go around to the outside. You have to have somebody disciplined on that edge to be able to do that, because the temptation is to crash, right, into the running back, and that's when the quarterback pulls the ball back and goes. And Wilson wasn't really able to do that, and Jones deserves a lot of credit for that. Now, Matt Barkley's not going to be running read option, right, and whatnot on Sunday, but seeing what Jones was able to do, given that specific assignment, he executed it so well. That speaks so much to what the coaching staff now will give him and will trust him to do going forward when he puts together a performance like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and technique is so important in those situations, because outside of Clay Matthews, none of those guys are going to be able to run down a quarterback. So if he gets the edge on you, if he gets the step, Russell Wilson's gone,
yeah,
unless there's somebody that's there to recover for you in the secondary. So that was really important for Dayton Jones. Think back to when they drafted him in 2013, at the time that the read option was getting popular with Colin Kaepernick. That was one of the reasons that I know was tossed around for why he would fit well into this defense, is he could help defend against that. The Packers really benefited from that against the Seahawks.
Yeah, for sure. With that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, you mentioned him earlier in the show, Ty Montgomery for the Packers in the backfield. We talked about him a lot over the last several weeks in this evolution of his transition from receiver to running back. It's full-fledged now, as we've discussed. We may be seeing an even bigger role being handled by Ty Montgomery come Sunday afternoon. When you look at the current situation, James Starks is in the concussion protocol, having sustained a concussion in a car accident on Monday. By all accounts, everything with Starks is fine, with the exception of the concussion. So that part of it, fortunately, was good news. But then also Christian Michael, who has gotten a handful of carries the last couple of ball games, missed practice on Thursday with an illness. Now, you hope that between Thursday and Sunday, you know, you get over the illness and can get out there and play. But with some of these things, you just never know. You don't know how close to 100% he'll be come Sunday afternoon. So there could be a lot, even more than normal, falling on Ty Montgomery's shoulders here.
Well, think about this too, Mike. On Thursday's practice, there was one guy who was a full participant in Ben Sermon's running backs room, and that was Joe Carriage, the undrafted rookie backup fullback. Everybody else, including Montgomery, was limited or not practicing. But, you know, what's interesting with the Packers, and I wrote about this a little bit for our website this week, is Ben Sermon, since he was hired in February, there's been 12 guys he's coached, including a former defensive lineman that converted to fullback. You have Ty Montgomery, who's converted to running back. And there's been 4 other guys who have all played for the Packers during the season that weren't with them during training camp. So
yeah,
that says a lot about Sermon's, and it says a lot about these running backs, too, being able to really adapt and go with the flow. Because when you think back, Mike, to when we had the opening news conference 10 months ago with Ben Sermon's, every question was about Eddie Lacy.
Yeah.
What do you have to do to get Eddie Lacy coming back? They did a pretty good job of that, 5.1 yards per carry before he went out with that ankle injury. But Eddie Lacy's not here right now. Ty Montgomery is, and the Packers have kind of built a weapon with him. They gave him experience as a receiver. He knows routes. He runs as well out of the backfield as any running back I think you'll find. He's a smart guy, and the Packers have really tapped into that to get a real big playmaker developed in a second-year guy like Montgomery.
Yeah, when you look at all the adjustments that Mike McCarthy and the Packers have had to make with their offense throughout the year, we see the adjustments on Sunday afternoons when they go out there and play. What we don't see is all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes with coaches like Ben Sermons dealing with, you know, making the transition with Ty Montgomery, getting new guys up to speed, Kristen Michael, Niall Davis when he was here briefly. All of these things are going on behind the scenes. There's so much work being put in just to try to get a package of plays available, you know, in the game plan for Sunday so that Mike McCarthy has a little bit more to go to on his call sheet when he needs to. It's really been impressive what Sermons and several of those offensive coaches have done in making these adjustments in what's been a very fluid season, I guess you might say, with regards to the depth chart at a lot of positions.
Yeah, and it's funny, as we talked about this too, I actually forgot one. Jarrell Presley. The Packers claimed him off waivers from Minnesota when after the start of the season. So there's actually been 13 guys that he's coached this season. It's pretty remarkable, and it's been important for the Packers. I mean, yeah, they don't have a top 10 run offense like they did with Eddie Lacy in 2013, but what they do have is a group that you have to respect. And I thought, even though it was only about 3 yards per carry against Seattle, now mind you, some of that was the quarterback yards being negative there as well, but
yeah.
The fact of the matter is they were effective. Ty Montgomery, when you talk to Mike McCarthy, they look at him as one of the guys that's really been a huge contributor and a huge spark for this offense. I thought Kristen Michael showed some really positive things. It looked really explosive off the point. So depending on what happens with Starks, you know you're not getting back Eddie Lacy. I think they've, throughout the course of the season, they've developed a backfield that they can win with, both in December and potentially in January as well.
Yeah, and just to highlight what the coaches go through behind the scenes, I mean, we did see the one play with Michael where he went the wrong way on a running play, and that kind of thing can happen when a guy hasn't, you know, he didn't get training camp. He didn't get the off season to learn the playbook, and stuff can happen in the heat of the moment, and you have to deal with it. You have to move on. You try to correct it for the next week. All of that stuff is going on outside of actually the practice field in a lot of ways, because you have to do that in the classroom, in the hotel room, wherever it is, and the Packers have really stuck to it this year.
Definitely, and that's going to be a big key for them going forward, because as we see, Ty Montgomery, he's a running back now, so everything he learned this year is going to have a lot of power here these next few seasons in terms of his development.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as is our custom at the end of the week, our final segment, we take a look at the other games around the NFC that could have some impact on the Packers' positioning. And you talk about scoreboard watching. I think all eyes that are not on Packers-Bears will be on Lions-Giants on Sunday afternoon. The Packers needing the Lions to lose one of their next two games, as long as the Packers win their next two, for the NFC North title to be on the line in Week 17.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm not necessarily getting on the phone with Ben McAdoo, but I'm rooting for my former protege
come
through. Because if the Giants were going to beat Dallas, which they did last week, you really want to see them, you know, kind of run the table, no pun intended, to what the Packers are doing. But, I mean, because the Giants, I mean, there is a chance they could potentially still tie at 10-6. Where potentially the Packers would win that tiebreaker for a wild card spot.
Right.
But right now, Packers want to win this division. They need a win out of the Giants. I like the matchup for New York. I think their defense is playing a lot better this year. I know I've read a lot of things out of New York saying that they feel like this is a championship Super Bowl caliber defense that they've developed. So for them to come out and maybe be the ones that break up this momentum for Detroit, I'm sure Mike McCarthy is going to be knocking on wood that happens at the same time that they're playing the Bears on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. And then another one to keep our eye on, which will be Sunday night after we get back from Chicago. Tampa Bay is at Dallas. Now, if there's a lot of complicated tiebreakers and numbers and statistics and whatnot that go into it. But long story short, there's a very, very, very good chance that as long as the Buccaneers lose to the Cowboys and the Packers win out and finish at 10-6, that regardless of what happens with the Lions, that the Packers will get a playoff spot. So if you're a Packers fan, you want to see Tampa Bay take a loss to the Cowboys here.
You do. I mean, if perfect world, you end up seeing Atlanta still win the NFC South. You already lost that tiebreaker. They might as well win the division. That can't hurt you. But Tampa's run that they've been on now, was it five straight victories?
Yeah, something like that.
That throws a different kind of curveball into this NFC playoff equation. Dallas, the Packers saw them. They're undefeated when they're not playing the Giants. So they're hoping that they can continue that. Maybe Dak Prescott can get back on a roll a little bit. So that's going to be a big game. And also, you know, maybe Carolina helping out the Packers as well, as they got to take on Washington. If Washington could fall behind Green Bay with their tie, that could potentially help as well.
Yeah, the Carolina-Washington game on Monday night, if the Redskins take their sixth loss and then they also have the tie on their record, the fact that the Redskins beat the Packers wouldn't matter as long as the Packers finish 10-6, because then the best the Redskins could finish is 9-6-1.
Right.
So that's a good situation. Also, Indianapolis at Minnesota. Packers aren't necessarily, you know, as concerned about Minnesota in the playoff picture because they're playing them again. They're tied with them right now. You'll have a chance to move ahead of them on Christmas Eve. But what I'm curious is just how the Vikings play things out with Adrian Peterson and everything. Maybe it depends on how this game goes against the Indianapolis Colts.
Whether or not Peterson actually suits up against Green Bay, we've heard it's not really certain yet if he's going to come back. They did designate him to return, but as Peterson, I think, has said in the media too, if the Vikings aren't in playoff contention, does it make sense for him to return this season?
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on all of that, and that'll be a storyline for next week. But for now, that's a wrap on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.